We're going to open up your Bibles to Matthew 9:32 through 34. We only have three verses today. Page 740, I believe, in your Bible. I think that's right. If you have one of our Bibles that's sitting in a seat, you can turn there to page 740. So Matthew 9, verse 32. Last week we spoke on faith, as I said. That message is now online on our website. You can download that, as well as the booklet that we handed out last week. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we thank you for this great day. We thank you for the testimonies that were shared. We thank you for the stories of your healing power. And I pray, God, that you would be with us as we look at these verses today. We celebrate you and we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 9, verse 32 through 34. Says this, when they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon and the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, he can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons. Today, as we get into this word, just as way of background, we believe in a real God. We believe Jesus was a real man, lived, died, rose again, absolutely real. The Bible tells us that the devil is real as well. And the devil is not God's equal. The devil was an angel who rebelled against God and was cast out to heaven. If you've learned about God and Satan from the movies, you're probably wrong. In the movies, Satan, you know, red stuff sometimes, little horns, pitchfork. It's not in the Bible. Probably not. That's probably not true. God isn't in this fight against Satan. Like, Jesus isn't. It's not like Rocky Balboa and the Russian from Rocky IV. Remember that? It's not really like that with Jesus versus the devil. Jesus has all victory. He died. He rose again. So he's not really fighting the devil, hoping that he wins. He's the complete victor. That's what the Bible tells us. That's why when we approach this story, there was a man who was possessed, and Jesus didn't fight him. Jesus just cast him out because he had the ability to do that. Okay? Now, demon possession is not like you see in the movies. It's not all that crazy stuff, but it happens. It's real. And Jesus is victorious. As a church, we don't go around looking at the devil and trying to find the devil under every rock. What we do is we look at Jesus. And that's all that we need to do. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Because Jesus is victorious, right? Amen? Jesus is in control, and that's all we need, is Jesus. So Jesus shows up, and he changes everything. We have a few blanks for the outline. If you want to write on the back of your bulletin, you can. If you want to take some notes, here's our outline. Jesus is the Lord of all. This is our opening thing from verse 32 through the first part of 33a. This tells the story. The demon-possessed man couldn't speak, and he was brought to Jesus. Listen, Satan loves to destroy people. Satan loves to hurt people. This was a man who was hurt for a while. He couldn't even talk. He couldn't even communicate because the demon was in him and messing with him. Again, it's not important how that works. What is important is Jesus is the one who sets us free. And Jesus went over to the demon and he cast the demon out and the man began to speak. Okay? This was an undeniable miracle. It was undeniable. Everybody saw it. Okay? Everybody saw it. Jesus proved that he was in complete control of everything. If you like really good preaching outlines that all begin with the same letter, I do sometimes. This chapter works really well with alliteration. If you remember from a few weeks ago, Matthew 9 verse 18, we started with the message that Jesus is the deliverer from disease. Remember the lady with the issue of blood. Jesus was the deliverer from death. Remember the little girl died, Jairus' daughter, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Jesus was the deliverer from disabilities. Last week he healed the guys who were blind. This week, Jesus is the deliverer from demons. He's in control. He's in control. See, that's good to know, because when we serve Jesus, we serve the one who's in control of everything. I mean, isn't that good to know? Right? He's in control of everything. He's truly Lord of all. That means like the whole earth, Jesus is in charge, right? All the nations, Jesus is in charge. All the spiritual powers, Jesus is in charge. Jesus is in charge of the devil. The devil can't do anything that Jesus won't let him do. And we know the story of history says that right now Satan has a time in which he's able to hurt people, but like it, you can picture it like this. Jesus has a noose around his neck and he's pulling it tighter. And the time is coming where Jesus will execute judgment and Satan won't be around anymore. He won't be able to do whatever he wants to do. That's why there's so much turmoil in the world right now. Because the devil knows the Bible and he knows his time is limited. And he knows with every day that noose is getting a little bit tighter. And every day that's going to happen. Point number one is simply Jesus is in control of everything. I say that to say you don't have to be afraid. Right? If you love Jesus, if you are on his side, you don't need to have fear over everything in day-to-day life. Jesus is in control. Moving on. I preached really long last week, so we're going to try and do it really quick this week. Let's see how we do. Point number two, we don't have that many points. Point number two is some chose to accept his lordship. Lordship, to be the Lord really means you're like the boss, you're the master. Some chose to accept that. Some chose to look at Jesus and realize he is the one in control. That's what the second part of verse 33 said. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. They were amazed. They looked, they knew this guy was possessed. Everybody knew that. And Jesus shows up and it's completely different. Jesus cast the demon out. It's a miracle. One of many, as we just said in context. He just raised the dead. He just healed of disease and disabilities. This was just another thing that he did. And some chose to accept his lordship. They said, Jesus, you are in control. You are God. Next point. Some chose to reject his lordship. Verse 34 talks of the Pharisees who were the pastors of the day, if you will. They didn't like Jesus because Jesus wasn't really a part of their church. He actually was, but they didn't like him because they wanted to be in control and they didn't want Jesus to be in control. Verse 34 gives us their reaction, and we just read it. It says, but the Pharisees said, he can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons. You see, the miracle was undeniable. They could not say that Jesus didn't do anything. They could not say that the man wasn't really set free, because he was. He was. They saw that. The only thing that they could do is try to discount the miracle worker. They couldn't discount the miracle. It absolutely happened. The only thing they could do is discount the miracle worker. And what they tried to say was, this guy, you know what? Of course he can cast out demons. Because he has one himself. He's working for the devil. And they're in cahoots together. And that was their answer. And they chose to reject the lordship of Jesus. Thinking through their reaction, if you're familiar with the story of the Hebrews, remember Moses went to set them free? They were in slavery for 400 years. Does anybody remember that story? And there were a bunch of plagues that God did that allowed, that were assigned to the Pharaoh that God was God. And God was showing his lordship through these plagues. Does anybody remember how many there were? Seven? No? A little higher? Close. 10. There were 10 plagues. Awesome. Sounded like we were playing bingo for a second, didn't it? There were 10 plagues, right? There were frogs and gnats and boils and the river turned to blood. And at the end, remember the last one? Was death of the firstborn, right? that God allowed an angel to pass through, the angel of death, if you will, not the Grim Reaper, that's TV, but God allowed his angel to pass through. And everyone's firstborn son died except for people who did what? Does anybody remember the story? Put the blood of the lamb over their door. Then the angel passed over the house, that home. The angel of death passed over and no one died in that house. The Jewish people called that day what? The Passover. And they would celebrate Passover even to this day. It's a celebration of being saved from death. The Passover, okay, that happened because God was teaching us and teaching the Jews what he would ultimately do through Jesus. Okay? Because what happened was they had to get this spotless lamb and they had to kill the lamb and they had to paint the blood over the door. John the Baptist in the future said about Jesus, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So how it works is Jesus lived a sinless life, died on the cross, rose again, and one day we realize that, if you want to call it, the angel of death will pass over us, right? If you want to say that, one day we die. The only way you're not going to die forever, which is hell, to be separated from God, is if the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, how it was painted over the door, it's kind of like that, but it's painted over the door of our hearts. Do you see that? It's the same thing. Jesus, the Passover was an illustration of what Jesus would ultimately do. And if we ask Jesus to forgive us, if we come to him and we admit our sins, we say, God, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short. Everybody here, we've all fallen short of God's standards. We're all sinners. None of us can go to heaven. I can't go to heaven on my own. None of us can go to heaven. What we need to do is we need to have something to save us. That's the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. And if we ask Jesus, if we come to Jesus and admit our sins, we confess them, and the Bible uses another word called repent, that means we stop doing what we were doing before. And we come to God and say, God, I confess my sins to you. You've seen what I'm done. I'm sorry. I've messed up. I really am. And I wish I didn't do that. And then we repent, meaning, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And with your help and strength, help me to never live that way before. I mean, ever again. The way I used to live, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to follow you. And I want to make you my Lord, is the word that we're using. That you're in charge, God. You're the boss of my life. And I'll follow you in my life. And when we do that, Jesus forgives us of all of our sin. And the picture is kind of like Passover. That when we die, we don't die forever. We just go to heaven. Right? I've used the illustration a lot, being poor. I don't know about poor, but as a kid, we didn't have central air. Did anybody have central air as a kid? Yep. Yeah? Wow. Brian did. Sheila don't remember that. Yeah. Yeah, 9 or 10, okay. Because we used to put a curtain, or it was really like a big old blanket, over the living room door, and the living room was cool, and we'd sleep in the living room. Anybody remember that? Sleeping bags, couch cushions, if you ever did that. And the kitchen was hot, because my mom's cooking in the kitchen. I mean, it was like 250 degrees, right? Living room was cool because of the one air conditioning unit. Going to heaven is kind of like walking from the kitchen, where it's really hot, like the world's kind of bad. And you would open up that curtain and walk into the living room and it's so cool and beautiful. To the Christian, it's kind of like that. That when we die, we walk into heaven. And death is the doorway to get to heaven. And it's kind of like going from that really, really hot kitchen where my mom's boiling like lima beans in the middle of August. You know, and you're like, man, life is, and then you walk into the cool living room. Oh, this is nice. And we used to keep it like 65 or something in there. I mean, it was cold. The sweat would freeze. It was awesome. And that's kind of like going to heaven. It's a good day. The flip side of that, unfortunately, is those who choose to do what the Pharisees did and reject the lordship of Jesus, this life is as good as it's going to get. Okay? For the Christian, this is as bad as it's going to get. And one day we get to go to heaven. For those who say, you know what, Jesus, I don't trust you, I don't know you, I reject you in essence, this is as good as it's going to get. And for you, death will be more like going from the living room into the kitchen. Although it's much worse than boiled lima beans. It's really bad. Hell is really bad. God didn't want any of us to have to go. Hell was created for the devil, whom he just casted out a demon. That's what hell was created for. Unfortunately, those who follow him or who are blind, that's where they go to. If they don't reach out and let Jesus forgive them. If they don't accept Jesus' gift of salvation and lordship. If you don't accept it, you reject it. I brought up the Hebrew story in Egypt. Because if you remember the story, do you remember Pharaoh's heart? Pharaoh's heart continued to get hard. God did these miracles that nobody could ever duplicate over and over and over again. And Pharaoh, the Bible keeps saying in Exodus, his heart was hardened. And after the next miracle, his heart was hardened even more. Because he chose to reject God. And God continued next miracle, would show up. This is it. I'm the Lord of all. And he chose to reject it. No. I'm not. I'm not going to accept it. And another miracle, again and again and again. You see, that's what happens. Our choice is we can either accept the lordship of Jesus or we reject it. And the more we reject it, the harder our hearts become, because I think every time our hearts get a little bit harder. For some of you, you might be sitting here today like, Pastor, I've heard this before. I've been here, done that. Can we move on? That's because your heart's already a little hard. And after you leave today, it's going to get a little bit harder. It just will. That with every opportunity you have, if you can choose to accept His lordship, or you can choose to reject it. And if you choose to reject it, it's almost like a little bit of death creeps in. And before you know it, God could do the miraculous, and you're still rejecting it. You might even say, it was probably the devil. Jesus was a fraud. You could say things like the testimony that they shared today about their baby, they were probably faking it. Or somebody else, they made up their story. Or everything was probably fine. They were just hallucinating or just carrying on. Jesus didn't do any miracles. And you start getting harder and harder and harder, and death starts to creep in. I want to say, don't allow that to happen. You need to choose today. Will we accept His lordship or will we reject it? We all must choose. Who is Jesus? C.S. Lewis, a great theologian, the writer of the Chronicles of Narnia books, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, the movie that they came out with. Books are awesome. Movie's okay. Books are really good. I highly recommend them, even just from a fiction standpoint. He wrote another book called Mere Christianity that I'm reading now. It's really good. It's awesome. And he came up with this idea of liar, lunatic, or Lord. And this is what he says. Let me read a little bit of what he says before we move on. Hang in there, we're almost done. Okay? I really mean that today. He says this, I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people usually say of Jesus. People say, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. So he says, you know what? There's foolish things. People try to say Jesus was a good teacher, but he wasn't really God. Let's walk through this argument. He says this, if Jesus was a really good teacher, would he say that he was God? Would Jesus say that he was God? If you had a teacher in school who was really good, anybody have a teacher you liked at some point, college, high school, right? Anybody? I know you're all, somebody had at least one teacher to let you chew gum, right? And you liked them because they were cool. And I had a teacher that would give you extra credit points if you cheated. But you had to cheat really well. It had to be like really, really inventive way of cheating. You still got a zero, but he gave you like 5 points for being creative. So he ended up with like a 5. One guy ripped apart his watch and put like a scroll inside. And he was cheating. And he would like scroll, like he's setting the time, you know, scrolled it up to get more answers. I know. We only heard about it because he got caught. So he ended up with like a 5. Because he got a 0, then he got 5 points for being creative. So it didn't help him too much. But he was a good teacher. I learned a lot in that class. That was in high school. But we had good teachers. He never did tell me he was God. That would have been weird. What if he stood up on his chair and said, "Hello, class. Just let you know I'm God. And you can feel free to worship me. And if you don't fall at my feet and worship me, you're going to hell. Have a good day." Right, he didn't do that. That wouldn't make any sense. If you were a good teacher, you wouldn't do that. So you can't look at all the claims that Jesus made and say he was a good guy. Because he said he was God, he wanted people to worship him, right? He said things like, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Which now we understand that's talking about communion that we do when we remember that Jesus died and rose again. But he said some things that were a little bit crazy. If he wasn't God, you can't look and say he was good. You would say, no, not so good. So how do we take this? Was he a good man? Jesus couldn't be a good man because he said he was God. So then we're left with, he's a liar, right? Was Jesus lying? Was Jesus lying when he said he was God? Or was he a lunatic? Was he crazy? You can't say he was a good guy. Jesus couldn't be a good guy. He either had to be a full-blown liar where he knew what he was doing, or he just had to be nuts. You know? Even nuttier than people in your own family who you think are nuts. You're like, oh, Uncle Fred is nuts or whatever, right? Everybody got a nuts relative? Jesus has to be even, yeah. I'm glad none of you are related to me because you'd be pointing at me. Jesus had to be full-blown nuts. Again, he wouldn't be a good guy. You always hear this, oh, he was a good man who inspired people. No, he had to be either a liar or he had to be nuts. Or the last possibility is he had to be telling the truth. He had to be the Lord. Was he a liar? Well, you know what? To be honest with you, anybody could say what he said. I think even David Koresh years ago, if you remember that, I think he even said he was Jesus. But Jesus did something different. Jesus was killed and rose again and showed up to people after he was undeniably dead. And you can read some good material on that. Was Jesus really dead? Trust me, he was. The Bible tells us he was. But you can read The Case for Christ, a great book by Lee Strobel. He goes into detail. It's like 800 pages. Okay, you can read it and get in if you don't believe the Bible story, but it's pretty clear. He wasn't lying. He did this. And the disciples saw that he rose again because they all died. And they would have been let go if they would just say, yeah, we made up the story. But they were all tortured, saying, no, we saw Jesus. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a lunatic. He was Lord. So that brings us to where we are today. We need to make that choice. As we read this passage, we saw that some people chose to accept his lordship. Some people said, look, it's a miracle. Nothing has ever been done like this in all of Israel. Some people looked at the same miracle, the same evidence, and said, you know what? Something happened, but he's a fraud. He's possessed himself. He was operating because of the devil. And they chose to reject that Jesus was in charge and Lord of all. I want you to know today, I accept Jesus' Lordship. And I would really encourage you to consider that today. Jesus is in control. He's Lord of all. He really is. And that has ramifications for our life. A couple of verses I want to share. We're going to close. I only got three of them. And we're going to pray. Everybody can high-five me for getting done early. 2 Timothy 4:1. It says, Christ Jesus, He will someday judge the living and the dead when He appears to set up His kingdom. Some other stuff in the verse, it actually goes on, it says, preach the word, because Jesus is coming. But Christ Jesus will someday judge the living and the dead. Jesus will be the judge. You can say, no, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, Jesus is going to judge all people. Another verse, Romans 2:16. Paul writes, and this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. These words are terrifying, right? God will judge, Jesus will judge everyone's secret life. Oh. We keep our attendance on an Excel spreadsheet, right? We just do that for bookkeeping purposes. When you stand before Jesus, He's not going to ask for a copy of the spreadsheet. The question isn't, how many times have you been to church? He's going to look at your secret life. Do you see that? He's not going to take our accounting stuff and say, how much money have you given to church? And then I'm going to bless you more and you can get into heaven because you give. You don't get into heaven because you give. You get into heaven because the blood of Jesus is over your heart, right? Like Passover. You get into heaven because Jesus has forgiven you and because you've made Him your Lord. Nothing else will get you into heaven. Because we don't have a leg to stand on. We're not perfect. Jesus is completely good. He's completely God, and we're not. And He's not only going to judge what everybody else sees, He's going to judge your secret life. He's not just going to judge Sunday morning. He's going to judge everything. See, that's why we say either Jesus is Lord of all, of your whole life, or He's not Lord at all. Either you've really accepted His Lordship, or you've really rejected it. Now, it's possible to go through life and make it look like you've accepted His Lordship. And there will be people who don't go to heaven, who look like they should go to heaven. Happens all the time. There'll probably be, no doubt, pastors who don't go to heaven. And they could be good people. But they just didn't really believe Jesus died and rose again. They came to the Bible and it was more of a textbook. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm bigger than Jesus. I've made up my own mind. And they've chosen to reject His Lordship. Because for one reason or another, maybe slowly over time, their heart started to die a little bit. And eventually they could even have the miraculous in front of them and they still reject Jesus. Jesus will judge your secret life. He knows if you really love Him. He knows if you've really served Him. Now, if you're a Christian today, I want to encourage you to live for Jesus. I really do. And not just on Sunday mornings. Live for Jesus, really, sincerely. If you're not a Christian today, you might be saying, Pastor, I've seen these fraud Christians before. And if you have, I want to apologize and say, I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry that you've been hurt. But I also want to say, God will judge them. Right? The hypocrite pastors, God will judge their secret life. He knows. But you're still going to stand before God too. And you can't say, but God, that guy, if you've rejected His Lordship, you can't say, but this guy was a bad dude. Jesus will get that bad dude. But you have to stand before Jesus. That's why, to be honest with you, as a church, since we started here, we've been here about 5.5 years, we try to do things a little more simply. I don't wear a tie and suit on purpose. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes people picture religion And we want to strip down those things and say, you know what? We just really want to live for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with suits and ties. I wore them for 10 years as youth pastor. There's nothing wrong with that. But we just want to say, you know what? Let's just get real. And a lot of people are kind of turned off by religion. And we wanted to be a church that would reach out to people who've been hurt before. People who have said, you know what? This God thing, I don't know. And we want to come out and say, you know what? Let's just be real with God. Are we perfect? No. Do we deserve hell? I deserve hell. I'm only going to heaven because Jesus forgave me. That's why when we sing songs, How Great Is Our God? Part of that is, Lord, I stink and I don't deserve heaven. And You've forgiven me. You're really great. Because I'm not. And we sing songs to Him. And I know He's going to judge. And I want to be right with Him. And I want you to be right with Him. Last verse. Joshua says this, 24:15. He says, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua at the end of his life is speaking to the nation of Israel. Joshua was the second leader after Moses. And he says, you know what, guys? Here's the deal. You can choose anything you want to choose. Freedom of choice, right? You can pick any god you want to pick. And he goes along in the passage and he names all the gods of the other nations. Listen, we don't usually mess around with little idols. But we have idolatry in our country. We still have our own gods. We still have our own gods. A god is anything you put in front of God. Right? Idolatry is usually a good thing. An idol is usually a good thing that you put in front of God and you make it a God thing. Okay? An idol could be anything. It's usually a good thing. It could be a bad thing, but it's usually a good thing that you make into a God thing. What are some idols in our culture? Some people worship their kids. And their kids are the most important things, and kids are a good thing. But they worship their kids and they do anything their kids want, and their kids never make a mistake, and everybody else looks at them and says, your kids stink. I know what they need, and it's not a lollipop, right? And some people worship their kids, and they spoil their kids. And they become idols to them. And they can't make church because they're sports things. Now, there's nothing wrong with a sports thing. But you can't get to a point where it's more about your kids than it is about God. Do you see the switch off? It becomes dangerous. What are some other things people worship? Sex. They worship sex, right? All the time. All the time. Like it's the most important thing in the world. Is sex a good thing? Yeah. It's uncomfortable. Wow, I don't know what we're talking about here. What should I answer? Is it a good thing, yes or no? At our church, we say yes. It's a good thing. If you're married, woo, good thing. Like fire in a fireplace. Fire in a fireplace is good. Fire on your living room floor, not good. Sex in marriage, good. Outside of marriage, hurts. It hurts. It's a good thing that God created. That people elevate to God, to a God-like status. And they get addicted to all kinds of stuff. And you know what? They're always seeking, and they never find fulfillment because that's a God that can't fulfill. Only Jesus can fulfill. Same thing with worshiping your kids. Your kids will reject you later on when they turn out to be teenagers, right? You're not cool anymore, Dad, right? Like, I'm always going to be cool, but I realize there may be a stage when they don't recognize it. But they'll come back around and figure out I was cool again. I hope. At least that's the delusion I'm feeding myself. Worship of kids, worship of money, right? People sacrifice their families for money, for work. They need overtime. Is money a good thing? Yeah, we need money. Is money a god? No. No, it's not that important. It's not that important. God can only be God. Joshua says, you know what? You can pick whoever you want to serve. You need to choose. But I love the last part because, listen, as the Father, we believe that God has called men to be the spiritual leaders of their home. I believe that. I know that to be true. That you heard me tell Ron earlier in a baby dedication, Ron, you're the pastor of your home. I'm Ron's pastor. I'm Daniel's pastor. But he's in the home. He's there when somebody burns their hand and says, let's pray. He's there shepherding his family, leading them to Christ. That's what God's called him to do. And Joshua, knowing that, he says, you know what? Choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He didn't take a vote. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord because He knows that's the way to life. And today I want to encourage you to do that too. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord. I want to encourage you to live for Him. Accept His Lordship in every area of your life. If you've been missing the mark, even if it's been a secret thing, you need to confess that sin. You need to repent. We need to move on with Jesus. We need to move on with Jesus. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you today, today you can do that. But what I do want to encourage you to do is sooner rather than later, if not today, I really want you to think about this Jesus thing. Okay? Sooner rather than later, I really want you to think about this Jesus thing. Was Jesus a liar? Was He a lunatic or was He Lord? And if He is Lord, then we need to do something with that because that changes everything. The longer we can, like I said, we can either accept Him or we can reject Him. And every time we reject Him, a little bit of our heart, I think, dies. I don't have a Bible verse for that, but it seems to be true for me. That the more times that we tell God no, the better off we are at ignoring His voice. The better off we are at not listening to the Holy Spirit. And today, I want to pray that you would do that. We're going to go ahead and pray. And if you're still wondering about this Jesus thing, I want to encourage you to look Him up. Okay? Call out, ask Him. He's big enough to prove to you that He's real. Get into the Bible. People have found it to be good for many years. It's been the best-selling book since they started making books. And that's no lie. Gutenberg made the printing press. The first book printed was the Bible. And it's been a bestseller forever since then. Get a Bible that you can read that's easy English. We have some on the rack. Take one home. Start in Matthew. Good place to start. We have some brochures in the back rack as well, right by our banner when you walk in. The two on the right at the top, there's Spanish and English. It's the Rock Solid Believer book. It's a 7-day short journey of what it means to be a Christian. And look into that. Say, what do Christians believe? What is this thing? But I do want to encourage you to really, 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 really consider this Jesus thing. Consider Him. Is He God? My encouragement to you would be to accept His Lordship. Don't reject it. Accept it. Think this through. And I encourage you, and in telling you that it'll be the most important decision you ever make. We're going to go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray today. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you, if you've never entered into a relationship with Him, now's the time you can do that. I'm going to lead you in a short prayer if you want to do that today, or maybe you did it before, but it's been a long time. And today you say, Pastor, the Lord's speaking to me. I think it's God. And today I want to accept His Lordship. I'm tired of running from it. I'm tired of rejecting that. If that's you, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And how we do that here is we don't make you stand up. Nobody's going to look at you. We all have our heads bowed. But I want to ask you as a way to say, today I'm making that commitment. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand and put it down. Then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And you can pray in your own words and ask Jesus to forgive you. And He will absolutely do that today. And He'll make you the Lord of His life. We're not going to delay. There are a lot of things going on today. But I'm just going to give this opportunity right now. Are you here today and you say, Pastor, today I want to accept the Lordship of Jesus. I want to make Him my boss and ask Him to forgive me. I want to follow Him. I don't want to do things on my own anymore. If that's you, just slip up your hand just for a second and put it down, and we're going to pray. I see that hand. Anybody else today? See another hand. I'm going to give you about 10 more seconds. Anyone else today? Nobody's looking. It's you and Jesus, and I'll just be praying for you. Anybody else today? I see another hand. Thank you. Let's go ahead and, if that's you, if you're making this commitment to the Lord, whether you raise your hand or not, you can go ahead and pray. Let's just get real with God for the next minute here. Jesus, we love you today. Lord, I know that you died and rose again. And I know that many people reject you. But today I accept your Lordship. I know that you're God. I know that you weren't a liar. And I know that you weren't a lunatic. I accept you as Lord. And I confess my sins to you. You've seen all the bad stuff I've done. I know you're going to judge the secret things in my heart, so I want to bring them out to you. You see them. I ask you to forgive me. I know that you died to pay for sin, and I ask that you forgive me for my sin. I confess them to you and I repent, Lord. When I leave this place, I pray that you would help me to never do that stuff anymore. That I'm going to live for you. And the stuff that I should have been doing all along that I wasn't doing, that you want me to, that's the stuff I pray that I do. And I'm going to live for you. Be my Lord and Master and Savior. And thank you for the blood of Jesus that forgives all my sin. I worship you and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.